Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Halfway home on a Wednesday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey apps, how you catch us when you're on the go. At JMCH316, at DDLewis4Real on our social media pages. Day-Day said that Marcell Ozuna hit Will Smith again.
Yeah, he caught him with the shoulder this time.
Oh, I did not see
the backswing on that two-yard shot.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, two-run shot.
Okay, so that's the second time he's hit him in what?
in less than
3 days?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so, okay. Good. You know, good.
I mean, and he looked back, too, because I guess he felt the bat hit him. So he, like, actually, it almost looked like a sarcastic look back, like, yeah, I hit you, but that ball's gone.
Well, you know? Yeah, I mean, that would probably be more like Marcell Ozuna. I mean, Marcell Ozuna does have a wild free swing, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised that there hasn't been more of that type of discussion. But, you know, again, he is a real free, wild swinger and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sure that there are a lot of players in Major League Baseball that, because again, the catcher's sticking his hand and, you know, arm and all. I mean, he's putting it right in there. So, again, you're getting right into that sweet spot where guys are going to flail away and probably get you hit, you know, and it's probably not unique to, you know, what he's doing, but, you know, it's, yeah, they decided to just bring him up in all of that. So I would probably bet you that Will Smith has probably been hit by 100 different guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when you play catcher like that, you're going to get yourself hit for all of it. But anyway, but he wanted to make an example of, of Marcell Ozuna, I guess, in this scenario. So, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are we getting toward critical mass with this whole University of Georgia situation? Look, I know college kids will be college kids, right?
Right.
I get that, and I'm with that, and I want them to be free and express themselves. And look, I want them. I am so firmly behind NIL. I think you have to cash in while you can. I've always been that way. I've always said that about college athletes. You got to cash in when you can. You can't wait to turn pro and all that. You got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
You know, David Pollack was a perfect guy in that scenario that, look, again, he had all the talent in the world to be a broadcaster and all that, and he was a good-looking guy, right? All that kind of stuff. But that's not everybody, right? He was able to find success even though his NFL career was completely struck short because of injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what's going to happen when you start to get to the pros. So get as much as you can now when you're young like that. But at the same time, it's getting to where guys are acting like they don't care or they're sort of reckless.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the thing about this is that, you know, it's look, wouldn't you have thought that the Jalen Carter situation and all that surrounded that would have woken some guys up? And maybe it did. You know, maybe it did wake up some guys to the realities of, hey, that could have been you. That you could have been, yeah. you could have been Devin Willock. Mm-hmm. You could have been that recruiting coordinator. That could have been you. So I don't blame NIL for all of this, but I will say that when you have the kind of success that Georgia has, everybody is in your corner. Like people gravitate to. When you have fame and success and everything that comes along with it, you're going to get all kinds of elements that come to your corner, come to your side, good, bad, or otherwise. Like, they're not all good influences, but you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be hangers-on. And, again, some of those people will be good. Some of those people will be bad. Hangers-on maybe isn't the right word, but I'm struggling to try to find the word that I want to say with it. But it's getting to the point where every week we're seeing a different player that's on the roster getting arrested for the same kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody seems – and that's the part that is sort of maddening, is that it feels like nobody's learning their lesson. And I understand, again, kids are going to be kids and young adults are going to be young adults. And when you have fame and success and things like that, they're going to be like that. But it's just like we talked about with John Morant. Like, at some point, just acknowledge, or you have to have Kirby or somebody be a leader that says, look, we're going to start punishing players. We're going to start severely punishing players if this trend continues. Because, again, it does – the perception, right?
Right.
And perception has – listen to when I say this. Perception has the same effect as truth.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the perception is nobody learned their lesson after Jalen Carter.
Right.
Nobody.
Agreed.
You know, again, players have been arrested since last fall. Some of that stuff got put under the rug. Then we had the Jalen Carter incident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got the lawsuit that Devin Willock's father is filing against Carter and the University of Georgia Athletic Department. You would think that alone would get Kirby to clean their act up and say, look, okay, now the athletic department, we got to draw a line in the sand. And again, it may just be minor speeding and a trap, but again, Jalen Carter had a speeding ticket, right? Well, he just had a speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fast forward, I think that was in October when he had the speeding ticket, right?
Right.
Okay, fast forward 3 months, then what happened? In his souped up, you know, car and all that, and again, drag racing, and okay, nobody learned their lesson, and unfortunately, in that scenario, two people lost their lives for it.
Yeah,
and the perception is, when you look at it from the outside, it may not be reality in some ways, but the perception is nobody learned their lesson. Ah, you know, Kirby's got a reckless program. His program is off the – remember when they used to say, oh, Mark Richt has lost control of the program? Well, again, you know, Mark Richt didn't even have half the success that Kirby Smart has had. You know, Mark Richt was being accused of, you know, who was the running back, that high-caliber running back that got kicked off the team? He had a gun incident or whatever like that. I mean, again, the joke was always, well, Mark Richt's lost control of this program. Well, Mark Richt has lost control of the program. I mean, what does it say about Kirby right now? And again, the idea of here's what I don't believe is when college coaches tell me or say, well, we can't be around him all the time. We don't always. Yeah, you can. Brother, if you can monitor their workouts and know what's going on and have all this contact in the world, whether it's on the record, off the record, back channel, again, these coaches know everything. I had a guy that I worked for that his son played for George O'Leary at Central Florida. Can I tell you, George knew everything that was going on with that kid. And he had to give him reports every day about his workout routine. What he ate, what's his workout regimen, how many, I mean, he knew everything. And this was during the summertime when the kid was home. Promise you, like George O'Leary would check in with him all the time. Now he ended up getting drafted by the 49ers for it, but again, they always knew what was going on. So this idea that and that's how many players are on scholarship? 83? So these coaches know, or they have people that monitor these things, right? Again, the first thing that happened when that wreck happened was the fixer showed up, right?
Yep.
Like it wasn't Kirby, wasn't the AD, wasn't the, I don't know, the president of Georgia. No, the fixer. It's the first guy on the scene. Besides the players that were involved in it, the fixer showed up first on the scene. The fixer had to get Jalen Carter back, right? We talked to Alan Judd about that. The fixer had to go in there and get Alan Judd back. Jalen Carter back. So, again, these coaches know what's going on. I don't know that Kirby's lost control, but it definitely feels like if you're on the outside looking in, the perception is becoming that nobody is learning their lesson from the Jalen Carter situation. And maybe, and again, this is not fair, okay, but I'm telling you what perception is, that, well, Kirby Smart isn't doing anything about this. He's just allowing these kids. No, he's not. I mean, he's not. In reality, he's not. But miss me with the, well, you can't monitor him all the time. Okay. I promise you they can. That's what they have a whole fleet of grad assistants for, right? That's what they have all those guys for. Not just your coaches and assistants. They have a fleet of these people that monitor things that are going on. So, again, it's the perception of what this program is becoming. And look, it's not going to take away from the football, right? I mean, they've had way too much success on the football field. And they're going to be the number one team in America. They're going to run the table and be undefeated in the regular season. They're going to be in the playoffs. I don't care what they face in the SEC. They could bring back the 1979 Alabama defense and bring back the wishbone offense that they ran in 79 against, what was it, in the Sugar Bowl against Penn State, like, you know, two of the great defenses of all time. They could bring that team back from the dead or wherever, and it wouldn't matter. Georgia's going to be a playoff team because they're going to run the table during the regular season with Ball State and Missouri and Kentucky and all these vagabond teams and all that, and they're going to be a playoff, and they'll be the favorite in the playoff. And they may be staring down the barrel of having their third national title in their hands in you know, less than a year from now. But the perception is going to be that, you know, they're running wild at Georgia. They're running amok at Georgia. And why can't they get their hands on this situation? Kirby's allowing this to just kind of, you know, fester on. No, he's not. I'm sure he's trying to do some things. And again, at some point, I'd say it this way, but you have to punish some kids. Yeah. Or you have to make an example out of kids, right? I mean, what's the one thing that coaches can control over anything? What's the one thing they can control?
Control who's on that roster.
Well, not even just who's on that roster, but if you're on that roster, what's the other thing that coaches can control?
Oh, they can control your playing time, yeah, your money, yep, like, oh, yeah, now that NIL, yeah, is, they, yeah, all that.
Playing time.
Yeah,
that's always been the thing that coaches can dictate, yeah, playing time, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, playing time. And if you have to punish some people to, you know, set the example of, okay, we've got to clean this thing up, then that's maybe what Kirby Smart has to do. And maybe that includes, you know, a star or two, right? Because, again, and I know Jimmy Johnson had the famous quote about, we don't treat everybody the same. Emmett Smith gets treated differently than – the fourth string wide receiver, right?
Right.
Nate Newton gets treated differently than the fourth defensive end on the Cowboys.
Right.
But that's how it is. But maybe you've got to set some examples. But, again, the perception is becoming that things are going amok and awry and, you know, every week it's something that's coming down the pike. And, again, I say it feels like that – it feels like nobody has learned their lesson from the Jalen Carter situation. That, oh, well, Jalen Carter happened? Oh, okay. Well, you know, again, that was him. That was a guy who was leaving for the NFL and blah, 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 blah. No, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't just Jalen Carter. There were multiples of people affected. Guess what? Chandler LaCroix was going to be at Georgia that next season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's the perception of what things look like for the university. It may not be reality. It may not be fair in all of this stuff, but it's the perception of what is going on. All right, coming back with That's Life, we'll talk a little bit more about Tina Turner and obviously the loss that we had earlier today where Tina Turner died at the age of 83 years young. So Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW. Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio, 92.9 at the game. Back at it on the John Chuckery Show, 921 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. The Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 the game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm at JMSH316. He is at the D Lewis for real. So we brought this up at the very beginning of the show. RIP to one of the real legendary voices in music history, right? And obviously the career. Did you ever see the movie What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah, with Angela Bassett.
I saw a little bit of the movie. What I saw, Angela Bassett was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Did she win an Oscar for that role?
She might have been nominated for an Oscar. I think she was nominated
for an Oscar. Yeah, because she killed that role.
Yeah, and Lawrence Fishburne was
really good. He was good.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it wasn't the prettiest of existence with Ike and Tina Turner.
But it was a story that, she allowed it to be told.
Yeah, and she persevered through all of that. Yeah. So, She lived for like a lot of the back end of her life in Germany.
Yeah,
I believe
overseas.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was somewhere. I think it was Germany that she lived for a long. I mean, she hasn't lived in the States for. I think
yeah,
since
it's
the
been
80s.
A long time. I was gonna say. I feel like even when she came, when she had the resurgence,
right.
I feel like she was already living over there then.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I know it was right around that time.
No, I think you're right, because I think it was the early 80s that she's been living overseas. I think it was in Germany, I think somewhere, but she had lived over there overseas for a long, long time. Just probably to get away from everything in the United States. But we were talking about, she wasn't a young whippersnapper when she had her big, success in this country. And 85, I don't even know how old she was. At that point, but obviously with Private Dancer, and that just rocketed her to the moon. She was in Beyond Thunderdome, right, with Mel Gibson. She was the barter lady or whatever.
Yeah.
The barter queen or whatever like that. So, and then of course she sang the song from the movie and things like that. So, she also sang the title theme to, and we're getting our top 10 here in just a little bit, but. Same theme song to a GoldenEye,
yep.
The James Bond movie, which was written by, it was Bono. It was Bono and Edge. Look who wrote GoldenEye. I think it was Bono and Edge from U2 that wrote the song for the first Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie that she sang the theme song to. So I think that was Edge and Bono, was it not? Hold, please. We're getting to it. Or maybe not. You want me to look it up, Day-Day? I'll get it before the show ends. So. But anyway.
So I got it here, but of course it's not me. Who wrote it. It's
all you got to do is.
Let me see.
All you got to do is just look it up on Wikipedia. So the song was written by Bono and Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why does it take you so long to find stuff?
I guess because of how I'm putting stuff in.
Put it in Wikipedia. Find it on Wikipedia.
I just put the name, her name in the song.
I GoldenEye.
See, I
Tina
put
Turner.
GoldenEye. I did that in Wikipedia. I didn't even put up. But then when I put written by, then in Wikipedia popped
up. All you had to do is put GoldenEye Tina Turner in, and it says, in the Wikipedia page, the song was written by Bono and Edge.
See, I think
YouTube.
You guys do more searching over there.
Well, we're quick. We're not old people, right? We're not old people like you or whatever. But anyway,
not that
hey,
old, bro.
Have you seen the trailer for The Flash?
Yeah.
We knew Michael Keaton was going to be in it, right? In the pictures of Batman.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck is also in the movie.
Yeah.
And the idea, I guess. He can change things in the past. He can time travel.
So it's based off the Flashpoint storyline of The Flash, which is their version of kind of what's it called in Marvel? The multiverse. Mm-hmm. So he can travel across time because of his speed.
Okay.
And so that's what's happening in this one. He goes back in time to try to change things, like his parents getting killed. And so when he does that and goes into a different universe where he exists already, in that universe, it's a different Batman.
Can he change himself from being arrested or going to prison?
Stop it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's accused of some, you know, kind of...
Some
not so pleasant things. Yeah, but when I saw the trailer...
Yeah.
Because we knew that Michael Keaton was going to be Batman.
Right.
But I didn't know that it was Ben Affleck as well
as
Batman. And it's him traveling across the multiverse to an alternate dimension where... Michael Keaton is Batman again. Look, it's super cool to see Michael Keaton as Batman, right?
It
really cool to see all of that. And I'm not a big, you know, Ben Affleck fan. Just not as Batman. Like, it's ridiculous.
None of his superhero roles. Daredevil, dude, don't ever do this again.
So. I'm telling you, that was one of the worst movies of all time. That Batman Superman movie that they did, and then they had Wonder Woman in the middle of all of that. Like that movie
Justice
was
League,
so.
Yeah.
That movie was not well. Justice League was a whole other piece of garbage. But that Batman versus Superman movie, where Wonder Woman shows
that's
up.
That's right, she did show. I forgot she showed up in that.
That was her first appearance as Wonder Woman, right?
And then they did her solo film.
I don't even know what the thing was they fought at the end of the movie, but it was so stupid. It was so ridiculous. But again, it was really cool to see Michael Keaton, but. I didn't realize that they were going back in time across universes and all this other kind of stuff.
It's a multiverse deal.
So everybody's in the multiverse now. Like, does anybody stay at home?
It's called. I forgot what it's called in DC. They don't call it multiverse. They call it something.
Well, no, that's probably trademarked by
Marvel.
Probably trademarked by Marvel. Yeah. So again, though, like nobody ever stays home.
It's one of the storylines in the comics. So
yeah, it's because they ran out of ideas, right? I mean, when you start time traveling across multiverse, you've run out of ideas, right? Like that's the thing with like now that Marvel movies are all in that multiverse dimension thing. So like everything is like again, it makes for some cool appearances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the movies don't make sense.
Some of them do.
Well, Ant-Man didn't. This new Ant-Man movie didn't make sense.
Yeah, it did. You don't see the problem is because you're not all tuned in all the Marvel movies. Yeah. You probably haven't watched enough of them to see all the tie-ins and stuff.
Again, give me Captain America: Civil War.
That's
right?
It.
They
that was a great one.
Five guys line up on one side, five guys and girls line up on the other. Right? Got the guys and the girls. Five are on one side, five are on the other, and they slug it out at the airport in Germany.
Yeah.
They slug it out at the German airport. Like, that's all I need. Like, just bring them all together and let's go toe-to-toe. Or the ending of...
Endgame.
Yeah. You know, when Steve Rogers has got the Thor's hammer and, you know, he signals and all of a sudden... What's the guy his partner?
Falcon.
The new Captain America.
Yeah,
the Falcon guy. You know, all of a sudden the portals open up and... Here comes everybody, right? So, again, very easy. So, again, they didn't have to travel to multiverses and dimensions and all this kind of stuff. So, anyway, all right, in honor of Tina Turner, and we'll get to some music here at the top of the hour, your top 10 favorite Tina Turner songs, Day Day, the floor is yours.
All right, Shake It Like a Tail Feather.
Nice.
Yeah, because, you know, for me, a lot of her songs, I wasn't on Tina Turner to your point. Like, when she had that resurgence in the 80s, I think I was middle school, maybe.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So, like, prior to that, it was just whatever my dad and uncles and everybody listened to.
Right.
So, of course, though, What's Love Got to Do with It? You mentioned the theme song for Under the Thunderdome. That was We Don't Need Another Hero.
Right.
Proud Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling on the River. I do have GoldenEye, the theme song. Pierce Brosnan's. Wasn't that his first one?
Yes, that was his debut movie.
Yeah. She did a duet. I was a David Bowie fan. She did a duet with David Bowie tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I do remember that. Yes.
Yep. Nutbush City Limits. And then A Fool in Love.
All right. I've got Typical Male.
Okay.
We Don't Need Another Hero.
Mm-hmm.
What's Love Got to Do with It, obviously. Proud Mary. River Deep, Mountain High. That's another great Tina Turner, Ike Turner song. I've got GoldenEye as well. Private Dancer, I do like that song. My favorite song of all time from Tina Turner is Better Be Good to Me.
Okay.
That's my favorite song of hers of all time. Okay. And then two other wild cards. The song that she did with Bryan Adams. I love that song.
Yeah.
It's Only Love.
Only, yes.
Yes, and that was on Records. Yeah, that was good, on Bryan Adams' album.
Yes.
That was on his album. But I love that song.
Yeah.
I love the guitar and, and all that in that. And then have you ever heard her version of Ball of Confusion?
I don't know.
By the Temptations?
I don't think so.
Great version. Like
okay.
it's a really good version of that song.
Okay.
So yeah, that that was in the 80s too when she did that. That was pre What's Love Got to Do with It, but
okay.
It was in the early 80s that she did the cover of Ball of Confusion.
Yeah, I did read about that because she was going back and forth with labels at that time.
Yes. Like she was trying to nail down.
Couldn't get an album deal.
Right. So yeah, her version of Ball of Confusion is a really good record.
Yeah.
And like I said, that was if 85, that probably was very early 80s, 81, 82 or something like that. So anyway, all right, hit us up with any thoughts you have about our top 10 list as well. When we get back, Jake Fisher joined us earlier in the show talking some Hawks and some NBA with the lead NBA writer senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is a John Chuckery Show live on this Wednesday evening with you. We thought we maybe would have the NBA Finals set here. We got one team in, but the Celtics did win last night over the Miami Heat to extend that series a little bit longer. So we'll see what happens. But we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. We talked to senior NBA reporter from Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Jake L. Fisher. Jake, appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta.
You got it. How are things your way?
Well, we are good. Let's talk about this franchise first and foremost with the Atlanta Hawks. How busy of an offseason do you expect the Hawks to have? I mean, look, this has been a couple of years of kind of in the muck, in the mire, and we do have some good pieces, but something is just not working. I don't know if it's just all coaching, but something is not working here in Atlanta. How busy and active do you think they'll be?
Well, I'll say this. We've been expecting John Collins to get moved for, it seems like, 3 years now. And every cycle, the trade deadline, the draft, it's been, you know, communicated to myself and reporters elsewhere and to rival teams that he's going to get moved, and he hasn't. So I'm never going to count my Hawks chickens until they hatch. But I will say that there's definitely a sense around the league and an expectation even that the Hawks will be active and on the phones and curious to explore various opportunities. I mean, they've got new leadership in tow now with Landry Fields. Really, it seems like he's got the lead, you know, front office chair kind of, you know, on stable footing now. And they're flushed out a front office with some additions, and Quinn Snyder's been able to get his footing. So that group, that nucleus, part of those guys, Landry's been around for a while, but they didn't put together this team exactly like this with that leadership structure in place. So just naturally speaking, I think we'll definitely hear Atlanta mentioned in a lot of early trade chatter. It's just a matter of what deals they'll actually be able to get done.
Do you think that they got the right guy for head coach, given the dearth of championship caliber coaches that, you know, came up on the marketplace now, where teams are just not willing to give some of their, you know, coaches a chance to get some things right? Do you think they got the right guy here in Atlanta at head coach?
I think so, and I'll say further that I've even asked the question to Quinn Snyder's, you know, associates and friends of his and people who work with him, if maybe Quinn might have taken the job too soon with the quality of other jobs that are open. And actually, I got pushback on that from people saying, you know, he was dead set on waiting out the whole year, and he had a whole European vacation plan that he cut short to come take this job. He's got ties to the Atlanta area. I think the opportunity to work with someone like Trae Young, to work with a new young executive in Landry Fields and build something kind of from like the ground floor up. They're not like a rebuild by any stretch, but they've got an opportunity here for Landry and Quinn basically starting in their respective, you know, leading voices pretty much along the same timeline to kind of shoot this thing in their image together. I don't know if Quinn would have had a more attractive situation than that one. So, I mean, the quality of coach he is and the fact he would have been very much at the top of a lot of these other teams' lists, I think it even further adds to the reasoning why Atlanta wanted to do this too, because he was the top guy on their list and they made sure they went out and got him before what they expected to be a crowded marketplace in the coaching landscape. But I think it's even more crowded than the Hawks were anticipating at the time being.
Senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And with that, you know, everybody we've talked to, I've talked to the beat reporter for the Jazz. I've talked to the play-by-play voice of the Jazz. I mean, obviously, we've had lots of NBA reporters on. I'll get your thoughts about this as well. Do you think that Quinn Snyder is going to have a real hand in player personnel and the way that this roster shapes up?
So I don't think that he has the proverbial final say that gets rumored about. I mean, to be honest, I don't know, and I don't think we'll really know until this offseason gets underway, because in battle at trade deadlines and the draft war room, ultimately, whoever has final say is whoever fully believes and trusts and takes their word most into account when, like, the clock is ticking. So I think all that's really to be determined. I don't think it necessarily matters that much, because I do think that Landry Fields has a ton of support. They've built a big front office that has a lot of guys that are close with him, and seems like it's a really close-knit group that's all kind of moving in the same direction. So I think Quinn's a part of that. I think, you know, he has a big, strong connection to Kyle Korver, and that connectivity, I think, will be very key in, you know, just having that relationship between the front office and the coach. I think Quinn has a bit of an outsized reputation. That might be a little unfair. Someone who wants to, like, come in, swing in his elbows and pound on the table to demand certain things. I think he just wants his impression to be felt and his voice to be heard. And I have no doubt that's the situation in Atlanta right now.
Let's bounce around the league a little bit, Jake. Obviously, LeBron James and, you know, the Lakers, we'll see what happens there, if he's going to retire, if he's going to play for another year. I mean, when do you think is going to be the thing that LeBron's, when he does hang it up? Is it bottoming out as a team? Is it his skill set is just not there anymore? Like, what do you look at when you see LeBron and decide about when it's going to be the end for him?
I think the goal of his, of playing with his son, that's been pretty repeated to me as his number one objective. Sure, competing for a championship as well, but I think that's what he really wants to do. So, I mean, at a minimum, he's going to have to play out this contract, reach next season. This extension that kicks in this year for the 23-24 year and then 25 year that pays him basically $100 million over two seasons. So, I understand he's probably exhausted and he's 38. He's been nursing a foot injury that's really doesn't sound like it's been comfortable to play on. And he's probably facing a long summer of off-season rehab. I understand why he finally kind of let the dam break and say that he's been thinking about retirement, but I really am not expecting it to be something until that 24-25 season, 2 years from now, the second year of this contract, after that to kick in, when he has the chance to either play with his son, Bronny, who's going to be spending next year as a freshman at USC, or at least play in the league at the same time as him.
Jake Fisher, senior reporter for Yahoo Sports, covering the NBA, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. One team I'm very fascinated about is the Philadelphia 76ers. And, of course, you know, they are in the Eastern Conference here. And obviously, you know, look, the Hawks have had their battles with them over the years. But you look at Embiid, and he's the MVP of the league, right? And he's been a tremendous player over the last few years. Harden kind of is just, you know, the mystery X factor. They've tried different lineups. They've had all kinds of different personnel that they've been able to bring in. They thought they had the right coach in Doc Rivers and all this, that, and the other. Where is that franchise? Like, what? Like, where are they at now as far as what they're going to do? Because nothing that they have tried has really advanced them even as far as a lot of other franchises. It just doesn't seem that there's something that has worked in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, the direction's really going to depend a lot on two things this summer. One, who the next head coach is going to be after they fire Doc Rivers, because I do think there's a big chance that Mike D'Antoni is the ultimate outcome there, who obviously coached James Harden to an MVP level in Houston and has strong connections from that time with Daryl Morey, who's now the president in Philadelphia. And then what does James Harden do? Does he go back to Houston, that's been long rumored? Does he stick in Philadelphia? I'm starting to believe he does stick in Philadelphia. So does that ultimately all impact Joel Embiid and his desire to stick around in Philadelphia as well? So those are the two things. I think we'll know a lot about their direction based off of the coaching decision, being that Mike D'Antoni would bring a clear offensive pick-and-roll heavy spread-the-floor style, which hasn't exactly been Joel Embiid's favorite way to play. And it'd be a different look than what they're doing now, feeding him the ball at the high post, feeding it to him at the low post, versus, you know, a defensive coach like Frank Vogel or someone like Nick Nurse, who's got a loud voice and a strong personality, who, you know, kind of wore out his welcome with a lot of players in Toronto. So I think all those things will be very important in shaping the direction of this team.
So one of the other big decisions is going to be, and this ties into a guy, you know, from the Atlanta area, is what's going to be the status of Jaylen Brown. Do you think that the Celtics are ready to break off that $290 million Supermax extension that he is going to end up being due? Or do you think that they are going to eventually part ways with Jaylen Brown?
The way he's played in these Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think any team would be super excited without any doubt in their mind about paying him that $300 million, you know, roughly contract. So we'll see. It's still very early. I mean, the series is still obviously ongoing. A lot can be determined here if you know, the Celtics turn things around and Jaylen Brown's like the key of it and he gets back to how he was playing against the Sixers. And I mean, a lot could change, but right now being kind of a no-show in this series, I do wonder. I mean, teams like Portland and Atlanta, I think, would be looming, because that's not to say that teams aren't interested in him. A lot of teams would be interested in Jaylen Brown. I just don't think a lot of teams are necessarily itching to pay him, you know, 290 or whatever the final numbers of his max extension can get now that he made an All-NBA team. So we'll see. I think we'll definitely be hearing his name this summer, though, no matter what, about Boston's appetite, because those rival teams are going to be calling. And if those teams are calling, it's going to get out in today's world. I'll hear about it. Other reporters will hear about it, and we'll be talking about it. So I do expect to hear his name. I just don't know at this point. I think it's too early to handicap whether or not he has a chance of getting moved.
Last question for you, Jake. You know, obviously, Denver and Joker – Joker's been arguably one of the better players, you know, probably top four or five players in the entirety of the NBA, multiple-time MVP. But what has been the difference? Why have they finally kind of broken through that glass ceiling where, you know, again, for years they were kind of, okay, a really good regular season franchise, couldn't get it done in the playoffs. What's been the difference about Denver now getting to the NBA Finals?
I mean, Jokic is Jokic. Jamal Murray, people forget, was at the top of his game at this level in 2020 before he tore his ACL. They traded for Aaron Gordon at the 2021 trade deadline, and we're looking like a juggernaut then. They were 8-0 before Murray tore his ACL and was out basically for the last two playoffs. Another key move was the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope trade this summer when they sent Monty Morris and Will Barton to Washington for him. He's been a perfect piece. And Bruce Brown might be the best sixth man in the league coming off the bench, a huge free agent signing for them. So, I mean, I think the Nuggets just have such a deep, cohesive unit from Jokic and Murray to, you throw Michael Porter Jr. in there, Aaron Gordon, KCP, Bruce Brown. That might be the best top six in the NBA and they've been the best team in the Western Conference all year long. I'm not surprised they're back at the Western Conference, you know, championship level, obviously advanced past that now, because that's where they were when they were at full strength last, and I think they're even better than they were when they lost to the Lakers in the 2020 Western Conference Final.
He is the senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. Jake Fisher joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Jake L. Fisher. Jake, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
You got it. Take care.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92 on the game and the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contrast. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a John Chuckery Show live on this Wednesday evening with you. Is, well, we thought we maybe would have the NBA Finals set here. We got one team in, but the Celtics did win last night over the Miami Heat to extend that series a little bit longer. So we'll see what happens. But we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. We talked to senior NBA reporter from Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Jake L. Fisher. Jake, appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta.
You got it. How are things your way?
Well, we are good. Let's talk about this franchise first and foremost with the Atlanta Hawks. How busy of an offseason do you expect the Hawks to have? I mean, look, this has been a couple of years of kind of in the muck, in the mire, and we do have some good pieces, but something is just not working. I don't know if it's just all coaching, but something is not working here in Atlanta. How busy and active do you think they'll be?
Well, I'll say this. We've been expecting John Collins to get moved for, it seems like, 3 years now. And every cycle, the trade deadline, the draft, it's been, you know, communicated to myself and reporters elsewhere and to rival teams that he's going to get moved, and he hasn't. So I'm never going to count my Hawks chickens until they hatch. But I will say that there's definitely a sense around the league and an expectation even that the Hawks will be active and on the phones and curious to explore various opportunities. I mean, they've got new leadership in tow now with Landry Fields. Really, it seems like he's got the lead, you know, front office chair kind of, you know, on stable footing now. And they're flushed out a front office with some additions, and Quinn Snyder's been able to get his footing. So that group, that nucleus, they're part of those guys. Landry's been around for a while, but they didn't put together this team exactly like this with that leadership structure in place. So just naturally speaking, I think we'll definitely hear Atlanta mentioned in a lot of early trade chatter. It's just a matter of what deals they'll actually be able to get done.
Do you think that they got the right guy for head coach, given the dearth of championship caliber coaches that, you know, came up on the marketplace now, where teams are just not willing to give some of their, you know, coaches a chance to get some things right? Do you think they got the right guy here in Atlanta at head coach?
I think so, and I'll say further that I've even asked the question to Quinn Snyder's, you know, associates and friends of his and people who work with him, if maybe Quinn might have taken the job too soon with the quality of other jobs that are open. And actually, I got pushback on that from people saying, you know, he was dead set on waiting out the whole year, and he had a whole European vacation plan that he cut short to come take this job. He's got ties to the Atlanta area. I think the opportunity to work with someone like Trae Young, to work with a new young executive in Landry Fields and build something kind of from like the ground floor up. They're not like a rebuild by any stretch, but they've got an opportunity here for Landry and Quinn basically starting in their respective, you know, leading voices pretty much along the same timeline to kind of shape this thing and their image together. I don't know if Quinn would have had a more attractive situation than that one. So, I mean, the quality of coach he is and the fact he would have been very much at the top of a lot of these other teams' lists, I think it even further adds to the reasoning why Atlanta wanted to do this too, because he was the top guy on their list, and they made sure they went out and got him before what they expected to be a crowded marketplace in the coaching landscape. And I think it's even more crowded than the Hawks were anticipating at the time being.
Senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And with that, you know, everybody we've talked to, I've talked to the beat reporter for the Jazz. I've talked to the play-by-play voice of the Jazz. I mean, obviously, we've had lots of NBA reporters on. I'll get your thoughts about this as well. Do you think that Quinn Snyder is going to have a real hand in player personnel and the way that this roster shapes up?
So I don't think that he has the proverbial final say that gets rumored about. I mean, to be honest, I don't know, and I don't think we'll really know until this offseason gets underway, because in battle at trade deadlines and the draft war room, ultimately, whoever has final say is whoever fully believes and trusts and takes their word most into account when, like, the clock is ticking. So I think all that's really to be determined. I don't think it necessarily matters that much, because I do think that Landry Fields has a ton of support. They've built a big front office that has a lot of guys that are close with him, and seems like it's a really close-knit group that's all kind of moving in the same direction. So I think Quinn's a part of that. I think, you know, he has a big, strong connection to Kyle Korver, and that connectivity, I think, will be very key in, you know, just having that relationship between the front office and the coach. I think Quinn has a bit of an outsized reputation. That might be a little unfair. Someone who wants to, like, come in, swing in his elbows, and pound on the table to demand certain things. I think he just wants his impression to be felt and his voice to be heard. And I have no doubt that's the situation in Atlanta right now.
Let's bounce around the league a little bit, Jake. Obviously, LeBron James and, you know, the Lakers, we'll see what happens there, if he's going to retire, if he's going to play for another year. I mean, when do you think is going to be the thing that LeBron's, when he does hang it up? Is it bottoming out as a team? Is it his skill set is just not there anymore? Like, what do you look at when you see LeBron and decide about when it's going to be the end for him?
I think the goal of his, of playing with his son, that's been pretty repeated to me as his number one objective. Sure, competing for a championship as well, but I think that's what he really wants to do. So, I mean, at a minimum, he's going to have to play out this contract, reach next season. This extension that kicks in this year for the 23-24 year and then 25 year that pays him basically $100 million over two seasons. So I understand he's probably exhausted and he's 38. He's been nursing a foot injury that's really doesn't sound like it's been comfortable to play on. And he's probably facing a long summer of off-season rehab. I understand why he finally kind of let the dam break and say that he's been thinking about retirement. But I really am not expecting it to be something until that 24-25 season, 2 years from now, the second year of this contract after that to kick in, when he has the chance to either play with his son Bronny, who's going to be spending next year as a freshman at USC, or at least play in the league at the same time as him.
Jake Fisher, senior reporter for Yahoo Sports, covering the NBA, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One team I'm very fascinated about is the Philadelphia 76ers. And, of course, you know, they are in the Eastern Conference here. And, obviously, you know, look, the Hawks have had their battles with them over the years. But you look at Embiid, and he's the MVP of the league, right? And he's been a tremendous player over the last few years. Harden kind of is just, you know, the mystery X factor. They've tried different lineups. They've had all kinds of different personnel that they've been able to bring in. They thought they had the right coach in Doc Rivers and all this, that, and the other. Where is that franchise? Like, where are they at now as far as what they're going to do? Because nothing that they have tried has really advanced them even as far as a lot of other franchises. It just doesn't seem that there's something that has worked in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, the direction's really going to depend a lot on two things this summer. One, who the next head coach is going to be after they fire Doc Rivers, because I do think there's a big chance that Mike D'Antoni is the ultimate outcome there, who obviously coached James Harden to an MVP level in Houston and has strong connections from that time with Daryl Morey, who's now the president in Philadelphia. And then what does James Harden do? Does he go back to Houston, that's been long rumored? Does he stick in Philadelphia? I'm starting to believe he does stick in Philadelphia. So does that ultimately all impact Joel Embiid and his desire to stick around in Philadelphia as well? So those are the two things. I think we'll know a lot about their direction based off of the coaching decision, being that Mike D'Antoni would bring a clear offensive pick and roll heavy spread the floor style, which hasn't exactly been Joel Embiid's favorite way to play. And it'd be a different look than what they're doing now, feeding him the ball at the high post, feeding it to him at the low post, versus, you know, a defensive coach like Frank Vogel or someone like Nick Nurse, who's got a loud voice and a strong personality, who, you know, kind of wore out his welcome with a lot of players in Toronto. So I think all those things will be very important in shaping the direction of this team.
So one of the other big decisions is going to be, and this ties into a guy, you know, from the Atlanta area, is what's going to be the status of Jaylen Brown. Do you think that the Celtics are ready to break off that $290 million Supermax extension that he is going to end up being due, or do you think that they are going to eventually part ways with Jaylen Brown?
The way he's played in these Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think any team would be super excited without any doubt in their mind about paying him that $300 million, you know, roughly contract. So we'll see. It's still very early. I mean, the series is still obviously ongoing. A lot can be determined here if you know, the Celtics turn things around and Jaylen Brown's like the key of it, and he gets back to how he was playing against the Sixers. And, I mean, a lot could change. But right now, being kind of a no-show in this series, I do wonder. I mean, teams like Portland and Atlanta, I think, would be looming, because that's not to say that teams aren't interested in him. A lot of teams would be interested in Jaylen Brown. I just don't think a lot of teams are necessarily itching to pay him, you know, 290 or whatever his the final numbers of his max extension can get now that he made an All-NBA team. So we'll see. I think we'll definitely be hearing his name this summer, though, no matter what, about Boston's appetite, because those rival teams are going to be calling. And those teams are calling, it's going to get out in today's world. I'll hear about it. Other reporters will hear about it, and we'll be talking about it. So I do expect to hear his name. I just don't know at this point. I think it's too early to handicap whether or not he has a chance of getting moved.
Last question for you, Jake. Obviously Denver and Joker. Joker's been arguably one of the better players, you know, probably top four or five players in the entirety of the NBA, multiple-time MVP. But what has been the difference? Why have they finally kind of broken through that glass ceiling where, you know, again, for years they were kind of, okay, a really good regular season franchise, couldn't get it done in the playoffs. What's been the difference about Denver now getting to the NBA Finals?
I mean, Jokic is Jokic. Jamal Murray, people forget, was at the top of his game at this level in 2020 before he tore his ACL. They traded for Aaron Gordon at the 2021 trade deadline, and we're looking like a juggernaut then. They were 8-0 before Murray tore his ACL and was out basically for the last two playoffs. Another key move was the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope trade this summer when they sent Monty Morris and Will Barton to Washington for him. He's been a perfect piece. And Bruce Brown might be the best sixth man in the league coming off the bench, a huge free agent signing for them. So, I mean, I think the Nuggets just have such a deep, cohesive unit from Jokic and Murray to you throw Michael Porter Jr. in there, Aaron Gordon, KCP, Bruce Brown. That might be the best top six in the NBA, and they've been the best team in the Western Conference all year long. I'm not surprised they're back at the Western Conference, you know, championship level, obviously advanced past that now. That's where they were when they were at full strength last, and I think they're even better than they were when they lost to the Lakers in the 2020 Western Conference Final.
He is the senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher. Join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Jake L. Fisher. Jake, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
You got it. Take care.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92 on the game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.